hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Well, double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. We're live from the studios of Republic Broadcasting Network on this Thursday, the 29th of November, 2007. And on today's program, I have Kevin Dashty coming on here in a few minutes. He's not in studio yet, but I'll be looking for him just in a few minutes. Everybody watch the Republican debates last night? Well, Anderson Cooper made an admission. And the oddball moment in that entire 2 hours last night was a retired general he disclosed that he was a homosexual only after he got out of the military. And he wanted to put on his own show. And he took up an exorbitant amount of time. Well, it turns out that he is on a steering committee for Hillary Clinton. I want to play that clip, and here is Anderson Vanderbilt, not Anderson Cooper, just like, what's his name, the guy that went looking for the tombs there, Jerry Rivers is his real name, oh, that's right, Geraldo Rivera. Yeah, they just don't like to use their names. At any rate, here's the clip from Anderson Cooper.
Bill Bennett earlier mentioned that he was getting some reports from friends of his on the internet that Brigadier General Keith Kerr, who asked a question about gays in the military during this debate, was on a steering committee for Senator Hillary Clinton. That was certainly something unknown to us, and had we known that, would have been disclosed by us. It turns out we have just looked at it. Apparently there was a press release from some 6 months ago, Hillary Clinton office saying that he had been named to some steering committee. We don't know if he's still on it. We're trying to find out that information. But certainly had we had that information, we would have acknowledge that in using his question if we had used it at all.
Yeah, if we would have used it at all, and that's the question, would they have still used it? Well, and another note here on the debates last night, if you guys out there are looking for more time for Ron Paul, well, I'll tell you how it broke out. This is from NBC's Lauren Applebaum. And she says, here are accounts on how long each candidate spoke during the first part of the debate. Romney got 7 minutes, over 7 minutes, 7 minutes, 3 seconds. McCain, 5 minutes, 9 seconds. Giuliani, 5 minutes, 8 seconds. Thompson, 4 minutes, 38 seconds. Mr. Huckabee, 4 minutes, 14 seconds. Ron Paul, third from the bottom, 3 minutes, 27 seconds. Tancredo, 2 minutes, 20 seconds. And Duncan Hunter, 2 minutes and 16 seconds. By the way, Huckabee didn't get a chance to speak until 26 minutes into the debate. Guess how long it took them for Ron Paul to get around to Ron Paul? 30 minutes into a two-hour debate. So he might as well not have been there. He could have walked on stage and only been there for an hour and a half. By the way, did anybody notice what Mr. Ron Paul did last night right after the debates were over? While the other boys stood up there and congratulated each other, Mr. Ron Paul went out to shake hands of the public. I don't think there's going to be any of these guys on the stage voting for each other. Mr. Paul, being the smart guy that he is, immediately turned his attention to the people. And that's what he'll keep doing during his presidential... Oh, that's right. He's not in the White House yet. But when he becomes president, he's still not going to lose sight of the people that he's shaking hands and getting the money from across this country. All right, we'll take a break. Come back here in just a few minutes.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
Attention RBN listeners who suffer from excruciating joint pain. If you are interested in suppressed but amazingly effective traditional arthritis remedies, this will be the single most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Recently, a scientist who specializes in ancient medicine has discovered a 3,000-year-old arthritis remedy that has been proven in studies to not only relieve joint pain and inflammation, but also to rebuild damaged cartilage as well. And the amazing thing is just how fast it works. In fact, relief for me came in less than a week. Now, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made for this ancient remedy. However, it is still legal to own it, and right now a small amount is available to our listeners. Keep in mind, shipments get filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you take immediate action by going to www.321relief.com. And the best part? RBN listeners pay absolutely nothing today. Simply go to 321relief.com. That's www.321relief.com, or call 815-259-4555. For details.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Ready to go. All right, folks, we are back. I have in the studio with me Kevin Dashti. He's 45. He's editor-in-chief and publisher of the Iran Mir monthly magazine. He was born in Iran, north of Iran by the Caspian Sea. He finished his academic elementary, middle, and high schools in Iran at the age of 19 and after the revolution. We'll get into that in a second. He left his motherland to Italy to join his immediate family member who had been living there for many years. During 1981 to 1998, he worked for several manufacturing companies while studying in local and correspondence schools abroad. In 1988, he came to Canada as an immigrant where he met his wife, Saudi. In 1992, they got married and had one son, Mirdad, that he calls him MD. MD now is 15. In 1992, Mr. Dashti started his printing business, Mr. Print, in Vancouver. And shortly after that, he began publishing the first Persian biweekly newspaper, The Iranian, for the big crowded Iranian community living in Vancouver, Canada. Soon his new publication reached to national and international level. And at that time, many top Iranian authors, reporters, columnists, and freelance political consultants' views were featured in his publication. And sorry to say that Dashti lost his wife, Saudi, in 1998 after 2 years of hard and painful battle that she had with colon cancer. In 1999, he decided to close his operation of publications in Canada and take his son and come to the U.S. He arrived in Houston, worked as a district manager for an entertainment company owned by one of his close friends. In 2002, he commenced his four-hour radio broadcasting program. And I hope I don't butcher this, Kevin. Shabahang?
Correct.
Shabahang. All right. In Houston, in association with KRSI Radio Network in California. Now, in the same year, he was appointed as editor-in-chief for the local Houston magazine published in Persian language, where he purchased the name magazine entirely in 2003. And today, Kevin, based on his graphics and journalism experience, looking forward to establish a network of media in Persian language for more than 2.5 million Iranians living inside the United States and Canada. He also has a master's in journalism with a major in graphics and publication. And I will throw out the email here before we bring up Kevin here. It's kdashti@yahoo.com. Kevin, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome, John. Thank you very much for inviting me.
I think we got the wrong mic opened up. It's the other mic. Well, that was the wrong mic that was opened up. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, John. Thank you for inviting me and having me here at your program.
Well, and you and I just started talking by chance. I came into your place of business. There's a great sandwich shop just a few doors away from you, Tech Sandwiches.
Correct.
Well, if we were doing a business show, there's a business plan there. The guy struck it rich by coming down here making sandwiches like nobody else ever makes. But I had a few minutes waiting for the order. He's always crowded around lunchtime. So I wandered into your shop and got to talking with you. And I have never had on this program, I've never had an Iranian on this program.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to understand, Kevin, we've got a group of neocons. And let's go back on the history here of the Middle East for a little bit. First, we had the English, the British were over there. And if you look at the present day map, thanks to the British and all the boundaries were set up, that's what they set up. And then in 1979, we all know the story about the Iranian hostages or the American hostages taken by the Iranians. And Khomeini came into power, and you put it in here as the revolution, but you said it wasn't really a revolution, it was more like a what?
A riot.
A riot.
Yeah.
And the Ayatollah scared the snot out of a lot of Americans because the guy looked like he meant business. But what he came in as, it was a fix for the Shah that the CIA had installed in 1953, and that was, again, over oil. I guess the United States was worried that, well, these oil wells were going to be nationalized, and they might be cut off from that oil. So from 1953 until 1979, the Shah of Iran was in there. By the way, a lot of people don't know this. There was many millions of dollars deposited in the Franklin National Bank in New York on behalf of the Iranian president, but he never got the money. He died of cancer, the CIA plant that they put in there to control things. And then the Ayatollah came along. The hostages were taken, and they were released, over a year later when Ronnie Reagan came into office. Wasn't going to do it under anybody else, wasn't going to do it under Carter, but did it under Ronald Reagan. And the reason, Kevin, I've got you in studio today is because we know that the plowshares have been beaten into swords. We have seen what has happened in Afghanistan. We have seen what has happened in Iraq. There are over a million Iraqis that are now dead because we didn't like their president over there. And I am just amazed that we are now rattling the swords to go into Iran. They've already tried to destabilize the country. They've already sent their special operations groups in there. And they have been so bold, the neocons have been so bold as to state that we are nation building inside the Middle East. Now, we've seen what that means for Afghanistan. We have seen what that meant for Iraq. And we can just about imagine what that's going to mean for Iran. How are you viewing this situation as being an Iranian now living inside the United States, watching George Bush and his neocon band of merry men cause so much pain and agony and death, and not to even mention the expense? How, as an Iranian sitting inside this country right now, watching the sabers being rattled to go into Iran, what's your take on this?
You said a lot and broad information in here, and what it is I might to explain is Iran, as you mentioned, at about 1950, at the age of the Shah, the Mahmoud Reza Shah, the king of Iran, we had a very good relation and solid relationship with not only United States and more than 100 countries in the universe and in the globe.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no battle, no fight. It was a little fight between Iran and Iraq over the, they call it Arvand Route or Shatt al-Arab, in between the border between Iran and Iraq in 1974, which Shah proposed to President of Iraq at that time, and then this issue was solved in Al-Jazeera in 1975. So there was a many times that they tried to have a battle, actual war, between the Iran and Iraq, Iran and Afghanistan, or some other country neighboring Iran, to reduce the maybe economy, to demolish the whole country. But the wisdom of the power, the governments at that time, so probably nothing happened. But in 1979, when the Shah left the country, the same Saddam Hussein was—he was actually, like kissing his hand in Al Jazeera in 1975. He brought the same accord on the TV and ripped it off in front of television and said, "This is not good anymore."
Mm-hmm.
So he attacked Iran. Unfortunately, what happened is that the Iranian, I believe, because in my involvement in publication, as you said, in the media, most of them are not very happy with the way the United States operated during the Iran-Iraq war. United States sold pictures taken by the satellite and AWACS and for millions of dollars to Saddam Hussein, who claimed now is a devil.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, it was good because he was paying money. He was getting money and support by Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, other big Arabian country. They had oil. He was supported during the Iran-Iraq war. Iran not only was fighting with Iraq, he was fighting with more than 33 countries. France was giving him a super étendard. England was giving them different ammunitions.
Mm-hmm.
United States was supporting him by photos, locating the Iranian armies and tanks and movement and things. And but finally, although I'm not here to support the Iranian government or that, but that war took 8 years and killed about 1 million of nations, both sides. We have over about 500,000 people are disabled, lost hands, legs, eyes, and under maybe biochemical weapons, and many other losses, not to mention about $100 billion in damage of the economics, universities, colleges, roads, refineries. Many things has been destroyed and not need to be rebuilt. So at that time, there was proposals for to finish the war, but unfortunately, neither side wants to come down. Anyhow, despite of that, also, if you recall, during the hostage, when you mentioned in the early beginning of the revolution, United States sends a special operation in a city of Tabas, which is in the northeast of Iran, and it failed to release the hostages. In the operation, there was 6 helicopters, and they all buried into the sand. And the Iranian government took it at that time as a privilege of God or something that helped not to these, the people or their soldiers to be.
Yeah, and to just keep, Kevin, just to keep people abreast on this, and what we're talking about here is the Carter attempt of sending those choppers in to
rescue the
hostages. Okay, we've got to take a break. My guest today, Kevin Dashty, editor-in-chief and publisher of Iranmir Monthly Magazine. And we'll continue this and also open up the phone lines, 800-313-9443. I thought it would be a good idea, ladies and gentlemen, to go into history past here and to let the American people know from somebody that lived in Iran and has ties to Iran what it's about. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
All right, folks, we're back in studio with us today, Kevin Dashty, editor and publisher of Iran Mir Monthly magazine. And before the break, we were giving out some history here, and I just wanted to mention, Kevin, that it was actually the United States government that sold the chemical weapons of mass destruction Mr. Hussein, and then when the UN went in there and the United States wanted to go into Iraq, that was one of the excuses and the reasons to go in there, because Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction that he used on his own people. Actually, they were sold to him to try to take out part of Iran. Well, when it came time to invade Iraq, we just couldn't find a weapons of mass destruction. My personal belief is that maybe some of those weapons found their way into some other people's hands, but I would say the majority of those weapons, Saddam Hussein wasn't stupid. And if he knew that he had the crosshairs, he was a target, he would have most certainly have gotten rid of those weapons The UN did their thing in there, where there were other independent inspectors that crawled all over Iraq looking under every sand dune and couldn't find these weapons of mass destruction. Hence, a million Iraqis later that are dead, and more soon to die from the exposure to depleted uranium. This is not stopped by any stretch of the imagination. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there because the decider here in Washington, D.C., has a penchant for lying just about everything. As a matter of fact, it is a rare instance where Bush does not lie. Pretty much everybody else has figured that out. So at any rate, all right, back to the subject matter in hand. And I know you're searching for some things. Now, I wanted to ask you one question before we get into anything else. Are Christians free to move about and worship as they wish in Iran?
Yes, they are. There are churches. There are, background in religiously, I'm a Zoroastrian. Zoroastria is the first probably prophet in Iranian history after Mithraism. And yes, they are free to worship. They have churches, they go, and the majority they are populated in Tehran, but there are some in the northeast and also the south part of Tehran, south-central of Iran. Yeah, but it was a little bit harsh at the beginning of the revolution because there were several factions in the government, and even the Zoroastrian, they were banned to go into the assembly, but now they have delegates.
What do you think of Mumad Ahmadinejad?
Ahmadinejad, he's a person that probably academically he's one of the most educated one from the rest of them in the past history of the presidencies in Iran, from Rafsanjani to Khatami to the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
He is the way he look. I mean, he appears. He looks like pretty, kind of a old-fashioned or, not too much into the fashion and things like that. He doesn't reach to himself,
right,
personally.
Right.
Sometimes he says good things, sometimes he says bad things. But I believe in Iran, because the way that the government is fashioned and designed, we shouldn't look at the personally, each person separately. It is a matter of the view in the whole nation, because Ahmadinejad is kind of a speaker for a government, that behind the government there is a council.
Mm-hmm.
There is a 12 member of the top Iranian government and also non-government people, that they are wealthy or they are very powerful because they are in head of Pasdaran, is the Iranian guard, revolutionary guards, and like Rafsanjani or many other top people. And I believe that Ahmadinejad is a kind of a speaker for this council versus just by himself.
Right. Yeah, it's really sad, because as I see the Middle East right now, and you probably have more background on what's been going on over there than I will ever think about having. My research time is limited. The amount of information I can read, it can only be in English, because I don't read any other foreign languages.
That's right.
So Our information about the Middle East has to be filtered down, and of course, you have various people writing about the history of Iran or Iraq or the Middle East in general, and you don't ever know whether these people have an agenda, a hidden agenda, or whatever the case is. So I like to get, as we say here in this country, as close to the horse's mouth as we can get, and I can think of nobody better to bring on air than somebody that was actually there, living there as an adult, and then moving out, and then had the benefit of retrospect to look what has happened to that country and the Middle East after all of these years. And as I look at this, Kevin, I can see one destabilizing factor, actually two, they're joined at the hip, two destabilizing factors in the Middle East right now. One is Israel and the U.S. and its backing of Israel. Now, we have Israel. The state was created back in 1948 at the behest of, well, not only this government, but also the British government. Lands were ceded to the Israelis. Palestinians were supposed to have a clear definition of where they could live, and Well, now we have the Israelis always claiming that, well, we need other lands or we have settlements there, whatever the case may be. In other words, there's been an ongoing war against the Palestinians since 1948. And I don't want to leave Israel out of this equation, because what we're seeing in the Middle East right now is their idea of the roadmap to peace, not for the Arab-speaking countries over there, but for Israel. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you, because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody, because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
During the break, Kevin gave me a map. This goes back 2,000 years. And what I'm seeing here is, starting with India, where Afghanistan and Pakistan is now, that used to be Iran. There wasn't any Iraq, there wasn't any Saudi Arabia, there wasn't any Turkey, there wasn't a whole lot over there. And 2,000 years ago, Iran was the entire Middle East.
There was a two empire at that age. One was a Rome and one was Persian. There was no third country. That's it.
And you guys have been pared down. You're sandwiched in between Iraq now and Afghanistan and Pakistan. And by the way, those fine folks over there have nuclear weapons.
In 1948, as you mentioned, when Israel was also trying, you know, established,
mm-hmm.
Same time, the same, almost the same year, Iran lost United Arab Emirates, and also it lost a part of the Iran where it went to the Pakistan and Bangladesh, in Afghanistan. So that's the same time Iran also lost lands too.
So Israel pops up on the map. They claim lands. There are lands ceded. And then we have a little problem here. What the issue of the Palestinians, of which they have been, and I don't call Israel's forces, by the way, Israeli Defense Forces, not the IDF, it's the IOF. It's the Israeli Offensive Forces. Because to my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Kevin, nobody has ever gone into Israeli territory and attacked the Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
It has always been the Israelis finding an excuse to cross their own borders and go attack other people.
That's correct.
Now, we have Ahmadinejad right now on the hot seat over the issue of nuclear weapons. And I'm going to make my position on this clear as I have in the past, folks. Mr. Ahmadinejad, as Kevin said, that he is not the spokesperson for the entire country of Iran. He is a spokesperson. He is well-educated. And there is a seat of government of 12
members,
members of this commission.
Council of the Protecting the Government and the Interests.
So Mr. Ahmadinejad is being attacked now because he wants to start nuclear reactors for nuclear power. And the great fear is that he'll take that spent material and make bombs out of it. And the CIA themselves have said that, look, this is 5 to 10 years out. Well, I just see a story posted yesterday that they secured a new missile, that their missile can go out 1,200 miles. Okay. Which supposedly, I'm assuming here, that that's going to be able to threaten Israel. Well, here's the threat to Israel. Nobody right now in the Middle East has any nuclear weapons, except, say, for Pakistan and Afghanistan.
India also trying to have some.
Yes. Okay. That's who I was trying to think of the people eastward, and I couldn't see it here on a map. Okay, India. But Israel has over 400 nuclear weapons of every imaginable delivery device. They've got subs that are nuclear now, nuclear armed anyhow. They have surface to air, they have air to air, they have air to ground. They have nuclear shells can be fired from cannon. In other words, they have everything that's nuclear. Now, if I am in the Middle East, Kevin, and I've got a neighbor that is warlike, that has demonstrated that for purposes of territory and or for political reasons, likes to attack its neighbors and start fights, I look at Israel as being the destabilizing factor in the Middle East right now with over 400 nuclear weapons.
Yeah. That's correct. When I gave you the map, I wanted to mention that the Iran in the past, this is the reason I brought you, and maybe you remind yourself that before you invite me here to the show, I talked to you about that. Unfortunately, that most small, at least people I saw in the streets of the United States, sometimes when they ask me, you know, oh, where are you from? You know, you have an accent. When I say Iran, they say, Iran is Iraq? They don't know what the Iran is, where the Iraq is. You know, it's, you saw the map now. 2,500 years ago, the same Jews that we're talking about, they were almost evaporating from the earth, because there was a king in the at that time. It was a region called Babel. Mm-hmm. It's right now is a part of Iraq, and then the Jews were living down there, and they were almost dying, and they were killing them. None of them could be left. And then Cyrus ordered that help these people, escort these people, and also give them about, at that time, about 9 camels full of the gold and anything they want to go back to Jerusalem, today's Beitul, whatever they call it, that Tel Aviv, and build their castle, and nobody should harm them. So at that time, the generosity of the Cyrus, now this history I'm telling is available on the Old Testaments. Everybody can read it. Also, they also sometimes pray this day because they believe as the Cyrus great as their savior. So the same country, the same principle that helped them 2,500 years ago to be survived today, to have the generation exist, how can now they can be threat to them? You know, we are the same people. We have the same philosophy. Iranians were always giving, generous, helping others. We declared the first human rights declaration in the world. At that time, not many people lived in the earth. Even they were in the caves. Iran, about 2,500 years ago, we had universities. About 2,000 Roman students were studying in Iranian university by the money paid, sponsored by Iranian government, because we had a lot of knowledge into the medicine, astrology, and a lot of stuff. So I'm saying is that it might be in a fraction of a period of 2,000 years we had up and downs, but we never lost our ties to our old traditional philosophy. We are very hospitalized people. We love to live in a harmony. At the age of, as you mentioned, you know, at the Shah regime, when the Egypt attacked, Israel attacked Egypt in the Sinai's deserts, they know that it took 6 days. Mm-hmm. There's a 6-day battle in Sinai's. The Shah of Iran intervened and stopped this killing and said, you know, you are, what do you need? You stay in your place. And Egypt stayed at their place and try to be like a brother and sisters, to solve your issue in assemblies, in schools, in places that is not war and a killing. But at the same time, you know, this idea probably at the beginning was very well thought and very well received. But then later on, you know, this emotion always is there, as you said, Israel, because it's one country with 3 million population, tried to keep up with almost everything, with Jordan, with Iraq, with Syria, with this and that. So, unfortunately, this battle, it seems that it's not going to be stopped from the bloodshed.
Well, and the way I see this, and I've got to say this, in this country, we're barely 230 some years old. Not in the history of mankind. We're just an entry into the level. The history has not been written yet. But when we're talking about Iran, with going back at least 2,500 year history.
This is our written day. We call it, you know, it's like a modern history. The actual history of Iran goes back 7,000 years. We have things that we found right now is in the Louvre Museum in Paris. The Iranian knew about 7,000 years how to make wines, how to make the household stuff. Now is available in museums. There are cities being discovered in the center of Iran. It's like the village of Salak in Hamadan is the center of Iran. 6,500 years ago, people know how to make homes, how to make household stuff.
And how does that, let me ask you this, how does that square with Egypt? Because Egypt has always been touted. I mean, they built the pyramids, and there's some people out there that claim that the Egyptians could only build the pyramids because they've had help from people that came down to Earth in UFOs. But what influence did Iran have on Egypt and their culture?
Yeah, the Egyptians also are one of the oldest nations in the globe, in the world, and but because of the distance at that time, because right now we have internet, we have a technology, we have planes that travel fast, but that time there was not that many of the correspondence or interaction between the countries. Egypt was isolated in Africa. Then, at one point of time, about 2,200 years ago, there was a kind of a threat to Iran, Egyptians. So what happens that Iran, at the time of the Cyrus's son, Dario, he sent about 100,000 armored personnel through Caspian Sea. They built a ship, I'm talking about 2,200 years ago. From Caspian Sea, they drove all the way to Egypt, and they took over the Egypt. And the commander of this army, about 100,000, was an Iranian lady. Her name is Artemis. And at that time, they built that canal there. This canal is made... Mm-hmm. Is built in about 2,000 years ago by the name of the Dario, but now they call him a Suez Channel.
The Suez?
Yeah, that's a different and wrong name.
And who built that?
Dario. He's a son of the Cyrus.
So we're talking, what, 2,500 years ago? 2,200 years ago. And here we are, this last century, we cut a small slice through... Central America and in Panama, and we're all pumped up about that. But this was done over 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
And I think the Suez Canal is a little bit longer than the Panama Canal.
Yeah, the whole ship that could go there, and right now is used for commercial use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyhow, you know, that these all the story, you know, happening in that part of the region in the world, and as you mentioned about Israel, about their power of the military and things like that, every country has a right to defend itself. As if we didn't have, at the age of the Shah, for example, Iran had about 4,500 air warplanes when the Shah left Iran. We had about maybe 10 million army people that were engaging, could get engaged to the war.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't have that, we wouldn't last long in Iraq battle. He was supported by 30 countries, as I said, financially and also military-wise. And if we didn't have all this background and we didn't have all this defensive material, we could not resist. And Iran could be now a part of the, like Kuwait was in 3 days.
Right.
So a nation with this history, about 2,000-year history, we have a right also to protect ourselves. We always were attacked by the people from the north of Iran, Russian. We lost 17 cities in about 100 years ago to Russia. All the Tajikistan are Iranians. They speak Iranian, but now they are in their own country. Uzbekistan are Iranians. They speak Iranian, but in Uzbeki dialect. Afghanistan, they are Iranians. Part of Bangladesh, Pakistan, they are Iranians. Not Muslim, I'm talking about. I'm talking about the race.
Mm-hmm.
Iranian. And so all of this happened because when they saw one part of the time the country is weak, the leadership is weak, so everybody attack. Iran logistically is a very rich country. Iran has the first gas in the world under the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's about third or fourth oil country in the world. We have Persian carpets, we have caviar, we have, you know, all the things that for cultural things, active, what do you call it, you know, like cultivating materials.
Mm-hmm.
And so this country with all this richness, as I said, they also need the protection somehow. And the question is that how can, as you said, Israel with 50 years history have access and be able to protect himself with all of the modest technology in a nuclear, and we will be able, you know, not even to protect ourselves.
Right.
Not only that, I heard that they're claiming just for the reactors, for the nuclear, I mean, for the power to generate powers. And but beside that, let's say, you know, in Pakistan have nuclear capability. They are so close to Iran. We have a border about 600 miles with Pakistan. How come that one day we get attacked? What should we do?
Yeah, and
we have about 1,200 miles with Iraq.
And this has been my argument because, for whatever reasons, and I don't want to go down necessarily this rabbit hole right now, whether you're buying into Islamofascism here or not. Ron Paul, by the way, in the debate last night, the Republican debate, made the statement. And he was booed by some that said, well, wait a minute. If terrorism is real, how would you feel if your country, our country here, was occupied by foreign military and foreign personnel? Why isn't it not the same? Why is it we believe that we can go in and occupy territories around this globe, and specifically the Middle East, with Afghanistan and Iraq, And Kevin, soon to be Iran. They're not going to stop with this. How is it that we can do this to another country and we can't expect any negative blowback from this?
That's correct. You know, one thing that I always was trying to encourage and state in my personal writing in Persian for my readerships and say in my radio program is that we have to be fair in every direction that we seek in the politics. In about 1915, in Iran, we had a king, was a Reza Shah, the father of the late Shah.
Mm-hmm.
What it is that he was tired of these mullahs at that time because they were seeking under the women's hijab, chadur, or whatever they call it, the cover, and going to different places, and they do the wrong things against the government.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did, one day he declared that from tomorrow morning, women should not have any chador or hijab. So a lot of people, a lot of, especially women, they liked it because there was, it was a burden on them. He said that half of my country people living on chador, they cannot function, they can't be a nurse, they can't be a teacher, cannot be this, cannot be that. Why is that like that? So, but elite, the people that who knew a little bit, you know, the people who understand the Western colleges, sometimes blamed Reza Shah, the Reza first. They say that the freedom and also the privilege of having a right to wear what you want to wear is something that you shouldn't give. It should be sought. It should be fought for. Women should realize that this is their necessity rights, and they fight for it, and then you could at least help them.
Mm-hmm.
So is the, if the same thing that we are arguing right now is a democracy, let's say, in Iraq. Democracy in Iraq is not something that is like grocery. You go, you give it to them. They have to fight for it. They
right.
have to seek for it.
Right.
When you pay price for your democracy, you stay on it.
Well, and yeah, and Kevin, let me interrupt you. I'll allow you to back to that point because here's a very important point. This country has been called a democracy, and it is not. Democracies, if the politicians or the powers that be, whatever elite are claiming authority, as long as through their actions or through the medias that you can convince 51% of the people that maybe the other 49% of the people that aren't with your program or with your vision, that quite frankly you can eliminate the other 49%. Here in this country, it is a republic based on law. And democracy, let me pick up the democracy thing on the other side of the break. We'll be back with Kevin Dashty here, editor-in-chief and publisher of Iran Mir Monthly. We'll be right back.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
The Berkey Lights unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
We're back. I'll tell you what, before we get too much deeper into this interview, I want to bring the callers up as we may, because I don't want to leave them hanging on. Let's go to Dylan in Texas. Hello, Dylan.
Good afternoon, brothers.
How you doing?
What's your guest name, sir?
It is Kevin Dashty.
Kevin Dashty, and you're the editor?
Yes, I'm editor-in-chief and publisher of the Iranian Monthly Magazine.
The Iranian Monthly Magazine.
That's right.
And I've always enjoyed studying the history of Iran, and thank you for sharing some of that with us.
Thank you.
I want to make a comment regarding the U.S. administration's stance on... sorry about this static. I'm trying to...
No, that's fine. Go ahead. We can hear you.
The U.S. administration's stance on the right of other nation states to defend themselves is very similar to what we have in the Texas Constitution. It supposedly, they have something that supposedly mimics the Second Amendment here in our state constitution, but it has an added clause about regulatable by government for in case of for the reasons of mental conditions of people, as to say that, you know, well, you have the right to protect yourself with firearms unless if the state should deem that you're crazy. And so, and basically on a national scale, this is what the government of the U.S. and the government of Israel and the government of Great Britain are saying, that Iraq or Iran in this case, that these nations are so crazy that they don't even have the right to possess the things that the nations who are making these judgments have already used against other nations.
Kind of hypocritical, isn't it, on a global scale?
It's globally hypocritical, dude.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Anything else, Dylan?
Well, I just want to say I'm very pro-Iranian, and...
Which might put you on the nation's terrorist watch list.
Well, to hell with the creators of those things. Yahweh bless you.
All right, thank you, Dylan. I appreciate it.
Yeah, the points he made there, I mentioned very good points. I just briefly mentioned that in a 2,000 years history, we had 444 kings and presidents. Okay? 444s. And about this time, we passed 600 national and international wars. These are statistics. So the country with 600 wars, some of them lasted about 100 years, some of them lasted 6 months. We have the right to protect ourselves. We never sought anybody's land. We never went to invade anybody's country. We always were invaded. Either from the north, either from the south, either from the east or the west. We had never sought anybody's freedom to be cut or to be jeopardized. We only want to be survive. We only want to be there. We only be participant into the global, you know, civilization.
Right. Never the aggressor, always the one that's attacked. And looking at the map, the Persian Empire has been whittled down over the last 2,500 years. Now you're between Iraq and a hard place, so to speak. All right, we'll take the break here. When I get back after the top of the hour break, I just want to say another word here about demonocracy or democracy. And folks, there's a demon in that democracy. Our idea is Western culture, McDonald's on one street corner and a triple X rated movie theater on the other. And quite frankly, a lot of countries in the Middle East aren't down for that kind of democracy. We'll take the break. We'll be right back. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. Back right after this.